Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On April 23, 2020, in a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court vacated and remanded the case of County of Maui, Hawaii v. Hawaii Wildlife Fund, holding that the Clean Water Act, which forbids any addition of any pollutant from any point source to navigable waters without the appropriate Environmental Protection Agency permit, requires a permit when there is a direct discharge from a point source into navigable waters or when there is the functional equivalent of a direct discharge. The 6-3 opinion was given by Justice Breyer on April 23, 2020. Justice Kavanaugh filed a concurring opinion and Justice Thomas filed a dissenting opinion in which Justice Gorsuch joined. Justice Alito filed a dissenting opinion. To discuss the case, we have Glenn Roper, attorney at the Pacific Legal Foundation.
On April 23, 2020, the Supreme Court issued its decision in County of Maui versus Hawaii Wildlife Fund. Here's the 15-second summary. The court voted 6-3 to vacate and remand the case to the Ninth Circuit to apply a new standard adopted by the majority, which is that a federal Clean Water Act permit is required not only for discharging pollutants directly into navigable waters, but also for discharges that are the, quote, functional equivalent of a direct discharge into a navigable water. I will first provide a little background, then discuss the court's holding, then add a few comments of my own. First, the background. Maui County owns a wastewater treatment plant that disposes of treated sewage into deep underground injection wells. The wastewater mixes with groundwater and travels half a mile underground through the aquifer, where much of it enters the Pacific Ocean. Environmental groups sued the county under the Clean Water Act's citizen suit provision for operating its plant without a federal Clean Water Act permit. The Clean Water Act requires such a permit for, and this is the key language, quote, any addition of any pollutant to navigable waters from any point source. Pollutant is very broadly defined and includes things like sewage or chemicals, but also things like rocks, sand, and even heat. A point source is defined as any discernible, confined, and discrete conveyance from which pollutants are or may be discharged. The specific question facing the court was whether a federal permit is required when a pollutant is discharged from a point source not into a navigable water, but into groundwater that eventually enters a navigable water. The circuit courts were split on the right test to apply in that situation. So on to the decision. Justice Breyer wrote the majority opinion, joined by Chief Justice Roberts and by Justices Ginsburg, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Kavanaugh. The majority opinion begins by quoting one of the legislative purposes of the Clean Water Act, which is to restore and maintain the integrity of the nation's waters. As we will see, the majority tried to devise a standard that fits with that stated purpose. The majority next noted that the key textual dispute is as to the meaning of the word from. As I mentioned, the Clean Water Act prohibits the unpermitted discharge of pollutants to navigable waters from a point source. But how close does the connection need to be? As Justice Breyer's opinion notes, the answer is not obvious because the word from is context dependent. For example, he says that if someone asks, where have you come from? It usually would not be appropriate to answer Finland, even if that's where you were born. In this case, the parties suggested three different ways to read the language of the Clean Water Act. The environmental group plaintiffs basically agreed with the Ninth Circuit that permitting should be required if a pollutant reaching navigable waters is, quote, fairly traceable back to a point source, regardless of what happened to the pollutant in between. In contrast, the county argued that the permit should only be required if the point source was a direct conveyance or means of delivering the pollutant into the navigable water. And the Solicitor General, as amicus, argued for a slightly different interpretation, one that was recently adopted by the EPA in an official interpretive statement, which concluded that a discharge into groundwater breaks the causal chain and eliminates the need for a permit. Justice Breyer's majority opinion rejected all three tests. It held that the Ninth Circuit's traceability test is too broad, as it might even apply to pollutants carried to navigable waters on a bird's feathers, or the 100-year migration of pollutants through 250 miles of groundwater. But Justice Breyer also thought that the county's and the Solicitor General's tests were too narrow. Echoing comments he made at oral argument, Justice Breyer wrote that those tests are too easy to circumvent, such as by shifting a pipe back a few yards from a navigable water so that pollutants released by the pipe travel first through groundwater, then enter the navigable water. So instead, the majority tried to find a middle ground, holding that an indirect discharge requires a federal permit if it is the functional equivalent of a direct discharge. Recognizing that is a rather vague test, the majority tried to put some meat on it by identifying a list of 7 non-exclusive factors that courts could consider, depending on the case. These include the time it takes and the distance the pollutant travels to get to a navigable water, which the majority said will usually be the 2 most important factors. But other factors include things like what material the pollutant travels through, whether it is diluted or chemically changed as it travels, how much of the pollutant makes it to the navigable water, and the manner by which the pollutant enters the navigable waters. The majority emphasized that there could be other relevant factors, but it did not explain how courts are to balance or apply the factors. Instead, the majority fell back on the purpose of the Clean Water Act, stating that the job of reviewing courts will be, quote, to advance in a manner consistent with the statute's language, the statutory purposes that Congress sought to achieve. Also consistent with his views at oral argument, Justice Breyer noted 2 other potential sources of guidance that could help flesh out the functional equivalent standard. First, common law developed by future court decisions applying the standard to specific fact patterns. And second, administrative agency guidance issued by the EPA. Finally, the majority recognized that landowners may risk severe penalties from aggressive Clean Water Act enforcement, including through citizen suits. But it thought that district court judges can, quote, mitigate any hardship or injustice when they apply the statute's penalty provision. So that was the majority opinion. There were also 2 separate dissenting opinions. First, Justice Thomas dissented, joined by Justice Gorsuch. He concluded that the text and structure of the Clean Water Act only requires permits for the direct release of pollutants from a point source to a navigable water. He also expressed doubt that the EPA will be able to clarify the issue through administrative guidance. Second, Justice Alito wrote a much longer dissent, nearly as long as the majority opinion. I can only briefly touch on it here, but in summary, he argues that the functional equivalent test is just not a plausible interpretation of the statute. Instead, in his view, the majority, quote, makes up a rule that provides no clear guidance and invites arbitrary and inconsistent application. And as for the majority's list of factors, Justice Alito foresees that, quote, dischargers will be able to argue that the court's multi-factor test does not require a permit. Opponents will be able to make the opposite argument. Regulators will be able to justify whatever result they prefer in a particular case, and judges will be left at sea. So I'd like to make just 3 quick comments on the decision. First, I was a little surprised that Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh joined the majority opinion, given their comments at oral argument. Chief Justice Roberts had been explicitly skeptical about the functional equivalent test, which he said was just as vague as the Ninth Circuit's traceability test. And Justice Kavanaugh had emphasized the need for a clear line that would allow property owners to know in advance whether a permit is required. But the majority's test that he joined is obviously not a clear line. Second, for those with an interest in administrative law, the case raises some interesting questions. For example, the majority specifically declined to grant Chevron deference to the EPA's interpretive guidance because it concluded that the EPA's position would open a loophole allowing easy evasion of the statute's basic purposes, and therefore was neither persuasive nor reasonable. The majority also noted that the EPA had not asked the court to defer, but it's unclear how much that mattered. One final comment. I am much more concerned than the majority was about the risks that this decision poses to regulated parties. It provides little clarity and will make it difficult for landowners and others to accurately predict whether they need to get permits or face penalties. Unless and until Congress amends the statute, regulated parties should look to any EPA guidance that is issued and to judicial decisions applying the Supreme Court standard, which hopefully will indicate what factors are relevant and how they should be applied. In the end, although the Supreme Court resolved the circuit split in this case, it did so in a way that guarantees uncertainty and lots of future litigation about what its new functional equivalent standard means. With that, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. SCOTUS Cast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUS Cast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.